Welcome to the Christian Heritage Church podcast. We're located in Graniteville, South Carolina, near Augusta, Georgia. I'm Pastor Stephen Phillips, and I'm glad you've joined us. We're on a mission to love people to life in Jesus Christ. Our prayer is that this podcast will be used to bring you to life in Christ, renew your faith, and strengthen you on your journey with Him. To learn more about Christian Heritage Church, go to ChristianHeritageChurch.com and discover additional ways that you can partner with us to make a difference. Thanks for listening today and enjoy the podcast. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. A number of weeks ago now, probably 4 or 5 weeks ago, we started a series on miracles. In the series, we talked about miracles of deliverance, miracles of healing, miracles of protection, and miracles of provision. In fact, last week, we were on Palm Sunday. We were talking about the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, how that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, the foal of a donkey that had never been ridden before. And that donkey carried Jesus into the streets of Jerusalem as they cried, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And, but what the comparison I made was that you and I are the ones who carried the gospel and carried Jesus into this world. And so we're donkeys. That's kind of what I was talking about last week, that if God can use a donkey, he can use us, right? And so it's really a miracle. If you think about where God has brought you from, anybody say, "I'm a miracle," because if you knew where God brought me from, you would realize that. If you feel that way, say amen to that. So, yeah, it's a miracle that God's able to take his gospel into this world through people like us. And so that's what we talked about last week and how he wants to use us. And we want to be used by God. You see, we believe that God is still in the miracle working business here. We believe that the power of the Spirit of God. We believe that God is still doing miracles. We believe that God wants to do a miracle in your life and in at various seasons and times in your life, God desires to work on your behalf. So if you wonder today what kind of church are we, I'll just tell you this. We're a church that believes that God is powerful and he's still working his miracles in this day and time in which we live. That's what we believe. Now, talking about miracles of deliverance and miracles of healing and miracles of protection and provision, yes, we believe in those things. But the greatest of all miracles was when God sent his son Jesus into this world. The greatest of all miracles was when God took on human flesh, was born of a Virgin Mary, who lived a sinless life. He grew in knowledge and in stature and in wisdom, yet he never sinned. He did no sin. He knew no sin. He had no sin. And in the divine foreknowledge of God and in the plan of God, because of sin that was in the human race, God intervened in humanity, and that's the definition of a miracle that we've been talking about. God intervened in humanity. And Jesus came and he died on the cross, him being perfect in every way. Jesus, the Son of God, fully God, yet he became man and thus died on the cross, taking upon himself the punishment for our sin and the judgment of our sin upon himself. I want to tell you, and then 3 days later, rising up from the grave in the power of our God. And in that moment, I want to tell you, that was the greatest miracle that ever happened right there. That's the greatest miracle. No question about it. I want you to look at Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 11. Romans 8 and 11. It says, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. So I just want to look at it again. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through Christ, through his spirit who dwells in you. So I want you to just see that right now. The power of God, the resurrecting power of God that raised Jesus from the dead, for all of us who believe on Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord, and we follow him, that same spirit is within us. That same resurrection spirit is within us. So this is the first point that I want to make. We're here today and we get to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ here on this Easter Sunday. But I want to tell you this. He not only wants us, and should we not all be celebrating, we need to all celebrate the resurrection. But I want to tell you, because of what he has done in our hearts, we also experience the resurrection. You see, he brings transformation to our lives. He brings change to our life. So Easter and resurrection is not just an event in history, although it's an event in history, an actual thing. But it is also a reality that you and I experience the resurrection when we are born again, when we are saved, and we are changed, we are transformed, and we come out of darkness into the marvelous light of the love of Jesus Christ. When old things pass away, and behold, all things become new, and you and I become new creations in Christ Jesus, I want to tell you, we become that because of the power of the resurrection we've now experienced in our life. And so it's so important that we understand, not only should we be celebrating, but we need to experience it. It needs to be more. Easter needs to be more than just a religious holiday. Easter should be more than just a Sunday a year. It needs to be the reality of Christ in us and the fact that he changes and transforms our lives. That's what we need more than anything else. Now, so I want to go back just for a moment, because we're talking about now that we believe in miracles, we believe in him, the power of God to do wonders in this world, and we believe in the miracles of a provision and protection and healing, and we believe in the miracle of deliverance from over the power of the enemy. We believe all that, but I want the greatest miracle of all is what we're talking about this morning. And I want you to look at Luke chapter 10. It'll be on the screen. Luke chapter 10, verse 17. Then 70 returned with joy. Now, just get in mind, there's the 12. We talk about the 12 disciples. Now Jesus has appointed 70 that are going out and spreading the gospel, telling this good news. And so when the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Notice they said, man, we're excited. The demons are subject to us in your name. They were pumped, but they had just witnessed God using them as they would speak in the name of Jesus over people that were demon possessed and people that were under the influence of the enemy in their life. And they were excited about it. And so they said, Lord, we are just got so much joy because of the demons are subject to us in your name. Note what Jesus says in verse 18. He said to them, he said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Now, I want you to just think about this for a moment. They're saying, we're all pumped because in your name, we just cast out some devils, some demons. And Jesus said, well, I saw Lucifer. I saw Satan fall like lightning out of heaven.
He said, I was there when he was cast out of heaven like lightning, like that. Didn't take a prayer meeting. It was like that. It was done. So I want you to just picture this conversation. And then he says, in fact, he said, behold, I give you authority. I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Notice that, all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So he's saying, I recognize that y'all are excited. Y'all are excited. Y'all got joy about this. I'll just tell you. But look, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this. Don't just get all worked up about that. What does he say? That the spirits are subject to you. Don't get worked up about that, but rather rejoice because your names are written down in heaven. Do you hear that? Sometimes we live in a world where everybody gets all, listen, I'm thankful when we pray and somebody gets healed. I'm thankful when somebody experiences the hand of protection on their life. I'm thankful when God has moved in my life and provided for me. I'm thankful for all of those things. I'm thankful when he sets somebody free. Man, that's so wonderful. But I am more excited when I see someone who is lost that now says, I've been found. And when somebody has been on their way to hell, and all of a sudden they say, I have Jesus in my heart and I'm on my way to heaven, he said, that is the greatest miracle that you'll ever witness, is when somebody is born again. Y'all sound excited about that. Are you really? Listen, in the month of March, right here at Christian Heritage Church, we had 29 people saved in the month of March. I think I need to say it one more time. In the month of March, we had 29 people saved, born again into the kingdom. Their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They are no longer on their way to hell, but they're on their way to heaven. I think that's worth rejoicing over this morning. I think God deserves the praise. Aren't you thankful that he still saves? In 2021, we've had 60 people that have given their heart to Jesus Christ. That is worthy of praise unto the Lord. This is the greatest of all miracles. Far greater than anything that we could ever even imagine. A person accepting him and being changed and now has eternal life. Now, I want us to, it's not on the screen, but I want to refer to Matthew 10 and 28 just for a moment. In Matthew 10, 28, he says, the Lord says, do not fear that one that can kill your body. But he says, fear the one who can cast your body into hell. What Jesus is saying there is that too often we get worked up about what happens to us in our flesh to the point that we fail to see the realities of eternity in hell or in heaven, for that matter. Eternity, period. You see, we get so wrapped up in temporary things. We get so wrapped up in this world. This world pulls on us from every direction. But I want to tell you today that, listen, God has wonderful things for us in this life. In fact, the scriptures tell us in John 10:10, Jesus said, I came. He said that he comes, and he came. He said, Satan comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. I, Jesus, have come that you might have life and have it the more abundantly. He wants us to have life and life eternal, but he wants us to have life and abundant life here on earth as well. But This life is short. This life is temporary. This life lasts longer for some than it does others. But even the ones who live the longest will tell you it don't seem like it's been that long since I was a kid. Now, they, on one hand, we might go through some stuff and you go, we might say, this was the longest year of my life. But I want to tell you, most of the time we're going, man, it went by fast. The truth of the matter is, if we live to be a ripe old age that any human would say, man, that's a long life. I want to tell you, it's brief. It's brief. See, eternal things are more important than temporal things. You see, God is more concerned with eternity than he is with our life now. Now, you're getting me wrong now. You're not understanding me if you're saying he don't care about my life right now. No. I believe he cares deeply about our life now, so much so that he wants us to live for him now so that we can experience our best life right now and an abundant life right now. But it pales in comparison to what eternity holds for us. And so he wants that for us. So he wants for us he is more than what's going on in our now. He has a place for us. In fact, in John chapter 14, verses 1 and 2, he says, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house were many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I've gone to prepare a place for you. That's where it stops right there, verse 2. He's gone to prepare a place. He has a place for us. He wants us to understand that eternity is so important that in the midst of their trial, in the midst of some of the most difficult days for these disciples of Jesus, he's saying, I'm going to make for you a place. Make for you a place. He wants us to know that that eternity is important, so much so that I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I have something prepared for you. And I don't want you to miss it. I want you to make sure. And he went on to say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. He wants us to understand that eternity is so magnificently important, more than anything in this world. It's being right with him that matters the most. Hebrews 9 and 27, it's appointed unto man once to die, but after that, the judgment of the Lord. There'll come an accounting time, and he wants us to understand that. You see, it's so easy for us to live for the temporary. I started singing this song right here in the 80s, maybe early 90s. It says, it's so easy to live for unimportant things. I want you to think about it now. To lose sight of heaven as we chase our man-made dreams. Lord, free us to focus on what life really means and teach us to lose sight of unimportant things. It's so easy to get caught up in this world to the point that we leave matters of eternity, matters that deal with life after this life. We leave it somehow just on the back shelf of our life. That song goes on to say, feelings for the moment, they come and then they're gone. Time shows signs of frailty to a face that once was strong. Diamonds don't shine bright enough to satisfy my soul. And foolish are the ones who seek treasures wrapped in gold. So why do we waste one day on things that seem just to slip away when all that really matters is you? That's really all that matters, is where we stand with God. But yet we'll live sometimes as though all of that is more important than Him. I want to tell you, everything else needs to be an outflow of our relationship with Him first. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things. Every other thing will be added unto us if we will just seek Him first. He understands what we have needs of. He understands what's important in this world. Jesus is saying, make sure you have a right relationship with me. I've told this story through the years. I want to share it again. And I'll give you a little bit more of the story than I have in the past. It's the story of a man who was born in France in 1824. His name was Jean François Gravelot. Jean-François Gravelot. From the time that he was a little bitty boy, he had interest in acrobatic type things. In fact, he wanted to, he went to a circus when he was very young, and he wanted to be just like all of those acrobats. And so he, from a young age, began to do that at home. They said one of the first things he did was he took a fishing pole that his parent had, and he learned to walk that fishing pole all the way out between two places, and he could do it. Amazing. For one, I would break that pole. I was 9 pounds, 5 ounces when I was born. So I mean, I'd have gave a fishing pole a fit on day one. But he grew up, and that was his interest. He ended up being a part of the circus. He ended up being most interesting aspect of the acrobats was those who would walk that tightrope. And he would do that. He'd be known for that. Well, when he was a little boy, Jean-François, he was real blonde-headed. His daddy was as well, and they had a nickname, and it was, I've always referred to it as Blondin, but the nickname was Blondine. He was known, as the years went by in show business and in that world professionally, as Charles Blondine. He would later on in his life come to the United States, and he wanted to walk across the Niagara Gorge of the Niagara Falls. He made a rope. He spent significant time making a rope that was 2 inches and 1,100 feet long. And they stretched it somehow across Niagara Falls. And there it was that Charles Blondine would cross Niagara Falls, and crowds would come and to watch him do these great feats. Now, not only did he walk across it just with that long pole as he would balance himself, but according to history, Charles Blondine would even walk on stilts across this. It is said that there was a time when he went out on the middle of it, and he took enough stuff out there with him, he cooked the omelet out there. I don't know. And then after cooking the omelet, he let it down on another rope to somebody on a boat underneath him. I don't know. Now, I've told you about the fact that Blondine would push a wheelbarrow across the Niagara Falls on that 2-inch rope or wire. But he couldn't get anybody to ride in the wheelbarrow. In fact, they would yell, we believe Blondin can do anything, you know. Well, who will ride in the wheelbarrow? Not me. I've shared that on occasions. But doing some further research about him and listening to this story, I found out that he did carry somebody on his back across the fall, across the gorge. And according to the story, the one guy that rode on his back was his manager. I'm sure it was going to bring in some money. But you know what? You know why the manager got on his back? Because he knew Blondine. Now, I want you to think about it for a moment. He had witnessed, he knew what Charles Blondine could do. He climbed up on his back. Now, I want you to look at a passage of scripture, 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. It says, "These things have I written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." Notice it again. "These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God." Now, this is New King James Version here on the screen, but in the King James Version, this is translated using a different word. It says, "I've written to you who believe on the name of the Son of God." On the name. And I think it's significant in translation, because when we talk about believing, you see, there's a lot of people who will say, "I believe in God." There's a lot of people who will say, in fact, the Bible says that even the devils believe and tremble. But I think the significance of believing on reminds me of this manager who would climb on the back of Blondin. He placing all of his weight, think about it, placing all of your weight on someone else. You are depending totally on them to walk across this falls, knowing that death would come. If there's an accident, it's death is coming. You see, but when we understand and we come to the realization that Jesus is enough and that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, when we come to that understanding and we begin to believe on him, we climb on his back, where he took stripes upon his back for us, where he was punished for us, where he took the sins of all of humanity upon himself. When we climb upon his back and say, "I trust in you, I lean upon you, I place all of my weight upon you," that is when we really believe. He said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." Now listen to me. When you believe on Jesus Christ, earth is the closest to hell you'll ever get. Do you hear what I'm saying? If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, earth is the closest you'll ever get to going to hell. I tell you what, I think that's something to rejoice over right by itself. That's as close as you'll get. If you'll just simply put your faith in him, you'll believe upon him, you'll trust in him, that's the closest you'll ever get to hell is right here on earth. But the opposite is also true. If you don't believe upon him, earth is the closest to heaven that you'll ever get. You see, but when you believe, earth is the closest to hell you'll ever get, but it's going to get better and better. Life is. But when you don't believe, it's the closest to heaven you'll ever be, but it's going to get worse and worse. I want to tell you, Jesus did not die on the cross and rise from the grave so that your life could just be better than it was. Jesus died on the cross and rose again so that the lost could be found. So the spiritually dead would be made alive. So that a man on his way to hell would go to heaven. You see, the Bible says that broad is the way that leads to destruction, death, and hell. But narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. I want to express to you in this room today that God wants the greatest of all miracles for you. And if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ today, he wants to do the greatest miracle that can be done in the world in saving you in this moment. And I'm going to tell you, the beautiful thing about it is it's by faith.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Christian Heritage Church podcast. I want you to take the message you've just received and allow it to go deep into your heart. Allow Jesus to do the deep work that only he can do. And I also want to encourage you to be a part of what we're doing here at Christian Heritage by going to ChristianHeritageChurch.com. Thanks again for being here with us.